In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sinners despise the grace of God. Grace is not fair, and they know it. So Jonah is angry at God that he forgave those Ninevites. The older brother is angry with Dad that he forgave the prodigal son and then threw a magnificent party for him. Moses is angry at God that he provided water for them and forgave them, not simply once, but twice. And so the second time he strikes the rock instead of speaking to it, hoping that God would not forgive and provide for his people. Sinners despise the grace of God. A child who has worked hard to get something screams it's unfair when their sibling gets the same thing and they did not work for it. Those hired first grumble and complain that those hired last receive a full day's wage. Sinners want a fair and a just God who pays people according to what they deserve. So those who work hard should get more. Those who are lazy should get far less. Those with advanced degrees should have more. Those without should have less. Those who are Christians should have a more comfortable life, while those who do not fear God should not. Those who are nice people and try to benefit their co-workers and the company itself should advance more quickly than those who step on anyone to get up the ladder. And we always assume that we are the hardworking nice guy, that we have done what is best with the things that we have been given. And so we shouldn't have to worry about our children and their financial future. We should not have to worry about our retirement and if we saved enough because we worked hard for it. But that is not what we see, is it? That those who live for this world, those who live to store up things in this life, often have far more than we. They tear down their barns and build bigger ones, and they do not always die that very night. They accomplish their heart's desires. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Their mouths take possession of the earth, and their tongues possession of heaven itself. They claim everything as their own. So this is what they are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth, as David writes in the Psalms. So we feel like we've kept our hearts pure for nothing. We have felt like we have not done what is right. We know our sins well. We have felt like that we have done what is right for nothing. It doesn't always pay off in the end. We're plagued by our sins. We know our failures. We have not increased always in wealth or prosperity or in reputation. Our plans do not always go as we want. Our lives take a sudden turn and we are left to adapt and to change while others seemingly have everything go according to their plan. We envy their carefree attitudes. We envy their prosperity. They drive their luxury cars into their gated communities because we assume, because they want to be separate from us, and they want us to know it, that they're better. And so we peer into those cars, and we assume that they're all a bunch of arrogant jerks who do not fear God and could care less about the average person, unlike us. And so we really want God to repay people according to what they deserve. Then there wouldn't be so many wealthy jerks in the world or spoiled kids living on mom and dad's coattails. How easy it is for us to envy the grace of God. No different than Moses, than the older brother, or than Jonah. We want people to be repaid according to their works, because deep down inside we feel like we have done a pretty good job on our own, and we would get that full day's wage. We do not understand all of these things. We do not understand grace until we enter the sanctuary of God. Then we find out what we really are. We are sinners, dust and ashes, nothing more. Then we also hear of the grace of God, and faith lives by that grace. Faith then confesses that we deserve nothing, and that everything from loving parents to children to puppies to the cup of morning coffee, all of it is a gift of God's grace. We did not earn a single thing, regardless of how hard we worked. It is all a gift of God's grace. Believe what you confessed when you said, "For all that I have done, I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity." We confess that we deserve absolutely nothing good in this life or in the next. And so faith lives by the promises of God, the grace of God. Faith takes refuge in the grace of God, for he does not treat us according to our just deserts. He deals with us according to his boundless love found in Christ. Faith is content then, because faith recognizes that regardless of what it has in this world, it has Christ, the greatest gift possible. Faith is not covetous, envious, or jealous of others, regardless of their house or gated communities or cars. Faith actually is overjoyed that God has given those gifts to them, because faith is satisfied completely with what God has given to it. Faith lives by the grace of God. This is completely backwards and upside down from the world. But it is not the kingdom of God that is backwards and upside down. The kingdom of God is perfect, just, right, and holy. It is fallen man who is backwards and upside down, who lives by greed, who markets and sends out campaigns to incite that greed within man so that they can sell more things and get stuff for themselves. Faith, however, trusts that God will provide, regardless of what we have. He is our loving Father who will never forsake his children, but will take care of us in the way that he alone knows is best. For it is grace alone that moves God to bless. The depths of God's heart are a fountain of grace bubbling over into a plethora of blessings. This is who he is. He is love. And that love is always directed towards those who do not deserve it. Grace is God's undeserved love. And so Christ came into the world for sinners, not for the righteous. He came for the wicked, not for the good. He came for the sick, not for the healthy. He did not come for those who think they have life under control, that everything rolls along according to their plans. But he came for those whose lives are just as chaotic as Old Testament history. He came for the broken and the hurting, the despairing and the confused. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself the least of the least, placed himself below his brothers, even as they lifted him up on a cross as a worm and not a man. Despised and rejected, but it should not surprise us. The grace of God is despised and rejected by sinful men. And that man on that cross displays God's grace more clearly than any blessing, any thought, any word, or any idea. The crucifix destroys work righteousness. The crucifix screams out, "You have earned absolutely nothing." Yet the crucifix also boldly declares, by grace alone, you have everything. It's undeserved by all. So God forgave the Ninevites. The Father forgave the prodigal son. God forgave Israel, and despite Moses' best efforts, he still provided water for them. God forgives you. It is by grace, and not by works. For if it were by works, grace would no longer be grace. It's either all grace or it's all works. It's either God's work for you or your work for God. And that is true not only of his work of winning salvation on the cross, but also of giving you that salvation here in the divine service. It's either God's grace for you or your work for God. It's either about what God does for you or what you do for God. And the depths of God's heart are a fountain of grace that continue to bubble over on you this day as he pours out on you again and again and again the forgiveness of all your sins. You have not earned it by showing up. You have not forced God into forgiving you because you confessed. But you show up and confess your sins, knowing full well that you have a gracious and loving God who will forgive you through Jesus Christ, your Lord. For he came for you, the sinner. And so it doesn't matter what we have in this life. We have Christ. And with that, we are content, whether we have great riches or very few. We are content in Christ because he has opened up everything for us. To some, God has given more. To others, he has given less. And yet to all, he has poured out his love on them. Yes, even to the wicked. He loves them. He desires that they be saved. And so he still gives them many blessings in this world with the hopes that they would recognize his fatherly hand giving them. To our logic, God's gift shouldn't give so much to those who abuse his gifts. Terrorists, for example. And yet, look in the mirror. Our own words condemn us. For who of us have used God's gifts perfectly all the time? In faith, we confess that we are no better than they. In faith, we confess that we are no better than the people sitting next to us, in front of us, or behind us. We are just as sinful, just as lost as they. We need a Savior. We need grace. It doesn't matter what we've done for this parish, whether we built it or not. By grace, we are all made one. There is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus, washed in the same baptism, saved by the same death, given the same life. Even the youngest of infants has all the blessings that we have. Even those who have suffered greatly for their faith, who have borne the burden of the day and the heat of persecution, even they are one with us, saved by grace, even as we. There is one body. And one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism for all. One God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. Because it's by grace we have entered into this holy fellowship. It's a marvelous holy communion filled with grumblers, filled with spiteful citizens, murderers, adulterers, thieves like you and me. And a kingdom, a communion that we have entered only by grace, undeserved love. For God came not for the righteous who do everything right, but he came for the sinners, like you and me. And at the head of this holy communion is Christ himself. And so God has made us equal to Christ, one with Christ. We who were enemies of God are now citizens in his kingdom, and we will reign with Christ forever. We who are dead in our sins have been raised to a new and holy life, and we will live with Christ forever. We who are broken and helpless, confused and hurting have been healed, and we will live in that perfect glory with Christ forever. No one has the right to be called a son of God except Jesus, and yet by grace the Father has declared you his beloved sons in holy baptism. You are heirs with Christ, co-heirs of his glory by grace. We have not borne the burden of the day or the heat of the sun. And yet by grace, Christ, who has endured it all for us, gives us the full day's wage of forgiveness, life, and salvation, so that we may rejoice to live with him forever. How wonderful is God's grace! It is the source of our salvation. It is the cause of our conversion and our redemption. It is the very reason we are on this earth, and the sole reason we have entered this sanctuary. The first become last, With these words, God forbids us to envy and to worry. He strikes down our pride. Even if we were like Abraham or David, Peter or Paul, we cannot exalt ourselves above one of the lowest. And yet the last will become first. With these words, God does exalt us. He checks our doubts and forbids us to place us below, and he forbids us to place ourselves below any saint as if they were more worthy of God than we. For it is by grace that we all are saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man, regardless of what he has done, no man can boast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.